Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Hunting Out Loud, Rob Marchand. You got Cody Cornwell on. What's up, Cody?
What's up, Rob?
Well, man, things have changed since you've been here last.
Yep. Well, you got high tech on me.
We're too far into it now. Well, man, let's just dive right into it. Of course, it's July 4th weekend, you know, so happy July 4th, everybody. Celebrate that freedom. It's important, man. Everybody raising kids, good Lord. Hold on to that freedom, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you just got back from Green River doing some smallmouth fishing.
Yep.
Let's hear about it. I didn't know you was into kayaks. Now, them kayaks kill me, but it looked like you all had some pretty nice kayaks.
Yeah. I actually, the one I had, I borrowed off a buddy. I'm going to get me one like that. I had a cheaper one. And, I mean, it was all right. It fished good, but I didn't realize how bad it fished till I got in a good one. And the one I borrowed was a Feel Free lure. And man, very stable. I could stand up in it.
Really?
Made a big difference.
I mean, it looked like it had that back support.
Yeah, good seat and kind of set up off of it. And I mean, I could get out of the seat on my knees and get in the compartments without it trying to flip or anything, which my other one, I couldn't hardly turn around and get fishing poles out of it.
Well, see, that's where Deb about ruined me. We went out to Greenbow and we rented one. It was a double, and it was more or less like a surfboard.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just, and then she was paddling as fast as she could. I was like, where are you going? Other side of the lake. I was like, well, we have to come back.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay, sissy. I was like, oh, I was whining and crying. You ever do that with your wife?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, you big baby. I thought you was country boy. But that one that you all was in.
Oh yeah,
well, super nice.
My buddy Jamie, he has probably the best kayak you can buy. It's a new canoe, and it's a 12 footer. It's 48 inches wide. He's 6'5", 340 probably. He stands up in it and fishes. Waller's all over it. I mean, it won't flip. And he's got a Minn Kota trolling motor that's got spot lock and anchor mode on it. Controls it around his neck, and man, it's nice.
Nice.
As I said, yeah, really.
Definitely looked nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it looked like y'all smashed a smallmouth down there.
Yeah, we ended up with 120 smallmouth in a day and a half of fishing because we got cut short because of some bad thunderstorms. So we got cut short, but we got a place to stay right on the river right there between Campbellsville and Greensburg. And a real nice guy, his name's Matthew Edwards. He's a school teacher, and he's 30 years old. He's younger than I am. But his family and him own the place, and he lets us come down and stay. But we put in the first day we fished a 10-mile stretch, and we caught 72 that first day, and we caught one that was over 20 inches.
I love it.
Oh, man, there's nothing like – that's the first time I actually have got into smallmouth. I've caught maybe one little dink here and there fishing before,
right.
But I mean this, I mean, every cast, I mean, it was smallmouth.
I mean, I've never went like you all did just to pursue smallies, but the one I caught down in Cumberland, I was just, I'm going to get it, you know, it's going to be on the wall eventually, I guess. I get everything else back just because, well, it was just 20 inches, 21 inches,
well,
but to me, it was a giant.
It's a giant anywhere. I mean, it takes a smallmouth, I think it's roughly 7 to 8 years to get 12 inches long.
Of course, we was targeting striper.
Yeah.
But the fight, see, I just caught a striper.
Yeah.
And then I caught it. And I mean, those stripers fight, of course, they're huge.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, compared to that smallie. But that smallie, man, just, there's no quit, is there?
No, no quit. I mean, from the time you get them out of the water, they're fighting you the whole way. I mean, especially if you're fishing with a plug, you got to watch them because of those treble hooks.
Right.
And they can make sure you got a good net.
Tear you up.
But, I mean, we caught, like I said, we caught 72 the first day. And we caught several, you know, 15 to 18 inches. We caught the one, and my buddy Jamie caught it. And he's bragging, giving us a hard time.
Well, yeah, that's part
we
of
had
it.
A $10 a day, you know, $10 per person for the trip, whoever got the biggest fish. But, man, the way his setup is, though, he really had a good advantage over us. We didn't have a trolling motor, so, and the way them smallmouth lay in those rivers is you need current, rock, you need rock bottom current. Anywhere good current flows into a deeper pool, or say you got a log jam that creates a slack hole of water that's got current coming into it, if you see mud bottom, grass, mud bottom, just burn through it. You're wasting your time for smallmouth. Now you may catch some spots or largemouth, but we wasn't trying to catch any of those. So we would go down and hit those. Well, we would have to go through the current, hit the slack hole, and pull off to the side on a shoal and then get in the water and wade up to it because we didn't have no way of holding ourselves there to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his trolling motor, he could just go down, turn it around, set right in the current, or right in the deep hole where the current comes in, turn spot lock on, and it'd hold him right in one spot. And he'd just throw it, and you just throw up in that current, let that bait just bounce off the rocks, let that current bring the bait down, and as soon as it would hit the bottom, man, they'd drill it.
Ah, it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
So somewhere we have to go, seeing you like smallmouth fishing so much, as I do, is, of course, Alan Grubb was just on with Phipps last week, I think, and Alan had just come back from St. Clair.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been there?
I've not been
there. I haven't either.
I work with several guys.
Everybody tells me.
And they said, you'll be ruined. You'll be ruined.
Just footballs.
All day.
Just big old, and the pattern on them.
Yeah, about the smallest one you'll catch, bare 15, 16 inches.
That's what Alan said. He said they're just like big old football. He had pictures. Yeah.
Well, they don't target them up there really because they're a trash fish up there.
Yeah,
they want walleye and pike,
muskie
and stuff.
Yeah,
they don't
even care, do they?
They don't care about small.
So we go up there. We love them.
Love it. And St. Clair is actually one of the best summer rated summer lakes in the country.
Really.
For summertime fishing, they say that the current in St. Clair, I think like every 8 or is it 10 to 14 days, that lake pushes all of its water out and has brand new, fresh, clean water in
it. My gosh.
A lake that size.
Yeah.
That's how much in the current. But them guys I work with go up there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to fish, always have. But I've not been into fishing like that. I've always been hunting.
Yeah, we have so many hobbies. I mean, you know, of course, I just got into duck hunting because you and Jake and talking to you guys. And But when you have so many things, you've got to be careful with your vacation being working, man.
Yep.
And I agree with you. So one of these days, I'm going to have to sacrifice. If you want to go up there, you'll have to sacrifice either some deer hunting or some waterfowl.
Well, that's my plan. Next spring, I've got a bear hunt in New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. Me and my dad and my two brothers.
Yeah, Mike told me that.
Yep, we're going up, so I've got to save some vacation time for that. So that's going to put me this year with bow season, with deer season. I'm not going to take any days off for bow season. I'm just going to...
Well, we can get it done here on the weekends.
Most of the time, if you get to west, the only thing that's tough here is, you know, in a working man, is them cold fronts don't always hit on the weekends.
Right.
And that's what's tough about it, but... I'll just have to try, you know.
To get it. I mean, it's just part of it, you know. You can't.
But I want to sacrifice that so I can go up to St. Clair.
Yeah.
For, you know, 4 or 5 days and go up there and catch some. Because, I mean, you don't get to do that here.
I mean, it's not. It must not be that far a drive because Alan drove straight from there to here.
Yep. Them guys at work. Well, Clayton, my supervisor, he'll go up there for a day.
Really?
Yeah, he'll drive up
there. Well, my God, 3 days then would be.
Oh yeah, and I think Detroit. It's right. Detroit's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't. I actually planned, and we was gonna go up for a couple days, a day or two. I was gonna go up this spring, but all the riots and all the stuff from George Floyd and all that was going on, and we didn't want to drive through Detroit.
Yeah,
dealing with
someone trying to burn your damn boat.
Yeah, so we just...
A bunch of horse shit, anyways.
Oh, yeah. So we stopped, you know, we just chose not to go. But we're gonna go next year, and they say the fall bite in September is just as good as the spring.
Well, you know, I want to get this adjusted, but, I mean, I want a musky fish, too, if I go up there, because the musky fishing's so good, they say.
Yep, they say it's real... I know Joey White used to go up there.
Joey and Lance and all that crew. Lance has told me a few good stories on your buddy Joey.
I can tell you plenty too.
Yeah, we'll get him on here one of these days.
Oh yeah,
but he's super. I mean, you know, I mentioned him before. I mean, we have some good muskie fishermen around here. Oh, Joey being one of them. Of course, Lance and Lance's dad and Dave French, which Dave, you know, he's in that.
Used to fish a lot together.
Yeah, I think they fished the tournaments a lot. And of course, Lance and his dad fished tournaments.
They won the PMTT tournament. It's been 4 or 5 years ago, I think, Joey and
Joey and Lance went to Dewey Lake.
Yeah, they fished. That was the first muskie tournament ever held on Dewey, and they won it.
Well, you know, I got the opportunity to go out there with Lance, and he's just a great guy.
Oh yeah,
and just, you know, showed me enough to keep me going back.
Yeah, you know, that's a sport where you got to be all in.
Well, it's just like deer hunting.
To be good,
you know, we've talked about before in here. It's just like deer hunting. You're fishing all day long for a bite.
All day.
Or even as good as Lance is, or Joey, you know, during a tournament, I asked Lance, I said, you know, what are you looking for? What are you setting your goals for when you come out? He said, 2 bites. If I can get 2 bites. Now, you're talking about work.
Yeah.
It ain't like going out there bass fishing, bluegill fishing, anything else. Yeah. I mean, when you get off there musky fishing, you're hurt.
Yeah.
I'm like, good Lord.
Yeah, you're throwing baits that long. I mean,
baits or jigging or whatever you're doing, and then it lulls you into, you know, you're kind of asleep, and all of a sudden, boom, you know.
Yeah, you're good for another 12 hours.
So, Corn Gable, he got him a boat, and he just sent me a picture this morning while I was mowing grass, and he got him a muskie in the boat this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Probably his first muskie in that boat, I guess. It's the first one he sent a picture of.
Yeah, I'd say, but. Yeah, Joey, he'd be a good one to have on. He's real knowledgeable. Joey's not just a good fisherman. He's a good hunter.
Good outdoorsman. Corey Cox, he's another good musky fisherman. Or like Joey, you know, and hunts and does it all, a little bit of everything.
Yep.
So, man, we got on to fishing. But you, speaking of Corey Cox, Jerry, you guys got some daggone nice gardens going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a... This is my first one I've ever done on my own.
It looks good.
I've helped in one my whole life, but this pandemic stuff started and they took baseball from me.
You had time.
And, I had time and I was like, you know what, I got a heck of a place for one. I was like, I'm gonna raise a garden.
Right.
And I put my heart and soul into it. I really worked my butt off.
So we'll get into your garden a little bit more about what you have planted, but something that intrigues me, because it's something I done when I was young. You probably done it with your family. It's canning.
Yeah.
Are you going to do some canning?
Yeah, we're going to do a little bit of canning. I'm going to put some stuff up in the freezer too. I've told the neighbors too. I'm like, hey, just come pick. When that's ready, just come help yourself. Because we can't. Me and my family can't eat all what I got. Yeah. And my wife and kids, they pretty much just eat the corn and beans and
potatoes.
They don't like peppers or tomatoes or onions or cabbage or none of that. But I'm gonna take what we do have left. I want to take the boys since they've helped me and take them and try to sell some and let them keep the money.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you got the farmers markets all over. Where will you be going? Louisa, probably.
Louisa. I may go down to Calixburg or down to Paintsville or somewhere. I just want to try to teach my boys that. Just show them that this work they've helped me with, that how it can be rewarded.
Well, yeah.
I want to show them it's just a lesson for them.
It'll sell big time nowadays.
Yeah.
Everybody loves that.
Oh, yeah.
They have a farmer's market over in Ironton now, right underneath the bridge. Mm-hmm. And, then, of course, they have one right here in Flatwoods. There's always farmer's market around somewhere, so it's pretty cool.
Corey's been killing me with all that zucchini.
My God.
I'm like,
Corey's got the zucchini, doesn't he?
I weigh 500 pounds if I live
I'm telling you, ain't no way. Jerry, he has a big old garden.
Yeah, Jerry's got a nice one.
Of course, yours. So, what all did you put out this year?
I done 4 rows of ambrosia corn, and I done some watermelon. I done 2 hills of crimson sweet watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got 2 big long rows of half runner green beans. I got a big long row of peppers mixed. I got some bananas and some mango bells. And some hot wax peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And there I put out 5 mountain fresh tomatoes. Because those mountain fresh, they'll make more tomatoes than any tomato plant in your garden. Mm-hmm. Those mountain tomatoes will. So I only done 5 of them. And now I've got 53 Brandywine tomatoes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a big long row of onions and two big long rows of potatoes.
Mm-hmm. See, those watermelons, you know, I've always raised a big garden. Of course, I didn't this year.
Yeah.
But you have to keep up with them. Because if you don't, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
Ain't it? A big old gom.
Well, I'm down by the creek, so the ground, that end of the garden, the closer it gets towards the field, it kind of gets a little more dirt base. But right there next to the creek, it's more, it's got a good sandy
mixture. They like the sandy mixture, don't they?
Yeah, anything that filters water out, you know, they don't, you know, they don't want a lot of water standing, you know, in there where the dirt holds a lot of water. They like it.
Sandy.
Yeah.
So I've raised some pumpkins back here before, and I don't know if you've ever messed with them.
I'll never mess with pumpkins.
But our favorite thing to do deer hunting, those deer will just poke a hole in that pumpkin. Yep. I mean, it's just like, bink.
Yep.
Just
that's what I've heard that.
Look at it. People. I mean, I watched some of them would eat it. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not going down there and fence the whole thing off, keep the deer out of it. But, they'll just poke a hole in it.
Yeah, they will.
I guess busting little bubbles or whatever we always like.
Yeah, I've heard several people say that.
Mm-hmm. So that's tough. But I need to do that with Addison, my granddaughter.
Oh,
get her out there in the garden. Next year she'll be old enough, like you are with your boys, get them out there and just show them how to do it. They need to know how. You know, I taught Greg and Bobby and made them go out there with the rototiller and do all that stuff. And
well, I enjoy it. It's a lot of work, but man, I'm telling you, I can honestly say it's some work that I really enjoy doing.
Nothing tastes better, does it?
No.
And then you put it with your deer or ducks or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's all you've raised or killed it, every bit of it, you know? So now you got me into this duck hunting, you and Jake, talking with you all, Nick McWhorter and Ian and all you guys. So I had to go out, and you know the story. Now I'm ate up with it. Now I have a dog out there I'm training.
Oh, yeah.
Which he's doing really good.
Oh, yeah, I've been keeping up with it. He looks...
Well, I have Ian, you know, and all I have to do is call Ian. He'll say, do this, do that. And Ian's been around him enough, he knows him. And I never realized, I mean, I've always had a dog, but I've never really worked with a dog. And you get closer when you actually work with the dog because you're a team.
Yep.
And, you know, if I don't do my job, he don't know.
Yeah.
You know what? So if I'm making mistakes, like sometimes you'll see me, I'll just be messed around. I'm glad I video it because, like, when I have him sit and I'm working on casting, and then I'm like, why didn't I bring him around and heal? See, that's my fault.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen people like, stupid dog or my dog. And I'm like, well, dude, it's your fault. You know, just like him, every time I should be bringing him around and heel, making him sit, hold, which I haven't force fetched with him because Ian was telling me just wait till he gets all his adult teeth in.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to force fetch with him. I noticed that he didn't have all his adult teeth, and he said, we'll do it then. We don't want to break his drive.
Yeah.
You know, we've got that drive built where he went, which I know, you know, they're born to do that, but you still have to work with them.
Yep.
Especially them. I mean, I've talked to coon hunters and a lot of times, and I don't, you know, I'm not professional in coon hunting by no means, but just talking to them, you know, a lot of times they can run their dogs with other dogs and stuff like that. But, you know, with a lab, it's a lot of one-on-one. You know,
They're pretty much just a four-legged, hairy little human.
You know, I can take him out with Kane.
They're smart.
And Kane's like, just get away from me. I got a job to do.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like,
There's nothing. I mean, you can do in the outdoors better to me than watching.
Yeah.
A good lab work.
Yeah.
Man, it gives me chills. I love what I got to. I was with one in when we went to Lake Barkley when we went diver hunting. And man, I'm telling you, I cannot remember her name. Chance Coates, my good buddy Chance Coates, he guides with Todd Duff from Major League Bowhunter.
Mm-hmm.
He guides with him out west. He's a guide out there, and he lives in down there around Kentucky Lake. And he comes in, we went and went diver duck hunting with him. He had a female dog that would. I'm talking, and Barkley's got current, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it don't look like it. When you get in it, it's got a lot of current.
Yeah.
And, man, that dog was making retrieves. I mean, by the time it...
I don't think you can wear them out.
Oh, no. I mean, she was ready to go for another
one. Yeah.
And it liked to kill. I went out and got one. It was toward the end of the hunt, and she'd been working her tail off.
Right.
And I shot one kind of crippled. Nick got out there, and I said, give her a break. I'll go get this one. I got out there, and let me tell you, getting there was easy. Getting back was a hard part. And
moving.
Like, man, she's done this all day.
They have so much heart, don't they? And you've hunted around them.
Yep.
I mean, I've never even hunted around.
Yeah.
I've been around Kane.
Yeah.
But they get the same thing out of that hunting trip as what we get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't they?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of sense, too. I think they do it more for...
Yeah, they're doing it for us.
They do themselves.
And just, you know, the little things that I watch him do, and, you know, he's not high pedigree dog or nothing. It's just, I've worked with him.
Yeah.
But you're just like, I can't believe they catch on so quick.
Yeah.
But you just have to work with them.
You have to. It's an everyday thing.
And so everyday. Right now, while it's hot, you know, I work on, and I'll tell you something, Cody, one of my biggest problems with him is socialization. See, I'd watch YouTube things. Ian would tell me, got to have, get him around a lot of dogs, socialization. Now, me and you can go out there right now. I can tell him sit. We can throw 10 bumpers out there, and I can cast him to each one of them bumpers, which is pretty good for his age.
That's real good.
We can do anything we want with him. But you bring another dog around where I haven't had him around a lot of dogs, he don't hear a word I say. Yeah. He wants to play. He
wants to play.
Because he's...
He's a pup.
Well, and he's not been around a lot of dogs. So that's on me. That's my fault.
Yeah.
So I try to get him out with Kane and Annie and Ashley's dogs as much as possible. And
yeah, that's good.
That's where...
You'll have you a good little buddy.
Well, you know, it'll be fun. We'll see how... You know, he may not be an ace or nothing like that, but I don't care. But, you know, I'll get him from breaking. Right, you know, after we force fetch him, then we're going to slow him down.
Yeah.
Which I've already slowed him down a little bit at a time. But anyway, it's a process.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like anything else. It's a process.
It's a process, yeah.
I mean, it's just huge, and it'll be what it'll be, you know.
Yeah.
He'll be as good as what I am training him, and I'm not that good at it right now. But,
yeah.
So we'll be duck hunting. I know you know, you got to see my gadwall over here, which you all kill a lot of them down south.
Oh, yeah.
But, I have a friend down in Texas that hunts Arkansas. Well, I shouldn't say a friend, a Facebook friend. I'm going to have her on. Isma, she's... it'll be wild and get her on this podcast. But she smokes a lot of ducks down there in Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Arkansas's... It's probably the most heavily hunted state in the United States, but, man, it produces...
It's just... The play, it's the mecca, ain't it?
It's it. It's the duck and rice capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so you can't top that.
No, I was in it when we hunted Batesville, Mississippi. We was 90 miles in a direct straight line east of Stuttgart, Arkansas, which is the duck and rice capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out on the delta, and man, it's phenomenal.
I mean, good Lord, I cannot wait.
It's just.
I'm going on a trip this winter for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I had a couple of young guys on.
I told Nick I'd like to get up with him and go to Alaska or wherever it is he goes duck hunting.
California.
Yeah, California. Yeah.
They piled him up. So I'm sure you've probably heard the story.
Oh, yeah.
And you being a duck hunter. You know how it is hunting around here, which you have your spots, but this past season, just from talking to you and other experienced waterfowl hunters, it was just a tough season. And now me, you know, if I go out and kill two or three ducks, I'm tickled.
Yeah.
But as far as you guys that have good seasons,
yeah,
I know
didn't
it's...
I really even hunt that much because of just... We went and I could just see what kind of season.
Right. It was just going to be...
I was thinking, man, we
toward.
Have this and that, but... You know, if we was somewhere more where it was...
You just knew what was going on.
I would probably still hunt a lot more, but here, I mean, it's tough to get good days anyways.
Right.
Even the best years don't even, for us, don't compare.
Well, I tell you...
They get out west and...
There was about 3 days that I actually seen ducks flying everywhere.
Yeah.
And one day was just... I think it was the day you shot your pintail.
Yeah, that was the best day I had seen around here this year.
Because I seen pintail that day. It's funny how they all kind of move in. And that's the first pintails I ever seen.
Yeah.
And then the next day was a little less. The next day, and then after that, it was just poop.
We went the next day, and it was...
Just one day.
I mean, we seen them. We seen probably... Let's see. We probably seen 2,500 ducks total.
Yeah.
Setting. But we had so much water.
Yeah.
And they was staying away from the tree lines. They was getting right out in the middle of that water and just feeding and having a good time. You know, they're smart. They know what's going on.
They're always hunted.
And there was no conditions for them to be up flying around. You know, they were just, it was warm. It warmed up. They was just happy, loafing. They didn't need to get up and move.
Yeah.
They didn't need to. You know, you take a good day in January when we get the water we need, and you take 20, 21 degree day, bluebird skies, good wind. I mean, you know, well, they're up moving. They're looking for food. They're feeding. And other hunters, duck hunting, it's one of those sports too where if you got other people hunting around you, it can help you.
Yeah.
It keeps them moving.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's why I killed them gadwalls. I heard a bunch of shots, and next thing I know, they was flying over.
Yeah.
Of course, I can't call worth crap, but you know, you was talking about that. When we had that flood, I'd went out. Nick and them couldn't hunt, so I went out to this spot, a field that I knew would flood.
Yeah.
And I go out there, and I kind of sit back off of it. There's one swampy area, and I sit in it, and I was like, wow. I mean, ducks are just whoo flying in there like crazy. They's all over the place. And Nick, we're going to smash them tomorrow.
Yeah.
We went back the next day. That water was already gone.
They were gone.
The next day.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not promised. They're a migratory bird. They're here one day, gone the next.
I mean, it's...
Never know.
Yeah, I was talking with Preston and Matthew that was on them, young waterfowl hunters. They was on there a few weeks ago. And, you know, when we're on a buck... And we might have a buck here in Ohio, West Virginia. We kind of know. We know, okay, we watch the weather. We watch the moon. You guys play the moon. Which I was going to tell you, Lance plays the moon musky fishing.
Oh, yeah.
So we can kind of work with that. And we always feel pretty confident. Whether we kill that buck or not, we always kind of know what's going on. This is not that way with waterfowl in this area.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you watch the fronts up north, I guess. Yep. And then just... Go to your best spots and hope for the best, huh?
Hope for the best. That's what it's, you know, I mean, you can get, if you know where they're loafing, where they're roosting, loafing, where they're going in the mornings, you know, you can normally get a crack at them at first light if you know where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's, after that, it's like, where do they go?
Tough.
They get out nerves. And especially if you're hunting where there's a lot of water around you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can find a good secluded body of water, it's got stuff there they want, food and stuff. You know, you can probably get a few good passes at them on those type of days of the mornings. But, you know, like I said, it's just tough. We just don't have enough of them.
But, you know, there's a lot of waterfowl hunters just all over the country. I was watching some guys down in Florida, you know, dealing with alligators.
Yep.
They kill a few of them.
Teal.
Yeah, it was teal.
Yep.
And then them, I guess the blood get in the water. Next thing you know, they're dealing with alligators.
Alligators, yeah.
But they was using their kayaks.
Yeah.
There's just another young fella in Virginia that I watch. I can't remember the name of the show. He just throws a GoPro on his head.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've Something seen Unlimited. Several guys like
He's
that.
A good kid.
Yeah.
But he gets all tore up when he busts one, which I do too.
Oh, well, I still get tore up. I love it. We have a good... Especially when you have a good hunt, and they're just textbook when they're coming in and doing what you want them to do, you can't beat it.
Well, I apologize to my listeners, but it is what it is. When I get into waterfowl talk, I just like soaking it up. You know, when I get someone on here likes waterfowl talk, you know, I have to ask you this question. I'd had John on, Burton, which you know John, and I call him the old local legend. And,
for sure.
You know, he's just got so many years experience, but I'd ask John if there was a bird that he'd ever went out and killed, and it was just like a crazy surprise, and one of your friends killed it. Gary Williams killed Old Squall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like telling other waterfowl hunters that around here, they're like, oh, that's a one in a million, you know?
Oh, it is.
I mean, so is there...
An Old Squall, it's crazy.
I mean, what's the chances, huh? Like very, hitting a lottery, right?
Very slim.
In this area?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Really, in this area. And no, those are... You got to kill them normally way up north in the bays, up in the, you know, they're a diver, and they're beautiful. I'll be honest with you, I don't know a whole lot about the Old Squall. I've never really looked into them much.
But they're a sea duck.
But they're a sea duck, and they're beautiful.
So are. I mean, that thing just got caught in a.
Yeah. Well, see, we have one. We killed two Ross geese.
So that's what I was going
to
ask
you. Opening weekend of season 1 year, and I mean, those things come out of the Arctic Circle, man. I mean,
so. Just
how they found the little area we was at. I mean,
so is that the biggest surprise you ever had water from?
That's the biggest surprise I've
ever had. The Ross geese?
We let them go the first morning. We seen them. They was actually roosted on the little beaver pond that we was hunting. And I seen them, and we got some water prior to that. So I was looking. It was cracking daylight, and I was looking, and I said, boys, I was like, what is that at the far end? I was like, and my buddy Justin's like, oh, he says, probably just some old trash bags or something that's floated in from where we got all the flood. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Got a little lighter and you can see these moving. He said, them's farm ducks. He's like, I mean, they was pretty good ways. Well, we didn't have no binos.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, them was like farm ducks. Well, they got up and took off flying, and you could tell right then they wasn't farm ducks. They was geese. Mm-hmm. Snow white.
Huh.
And I was like, well, we couldn't figure out exactly what they was. And the next morning went in there and they was right back.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked up and flew off and then come back and killed them. Justin and Brad actually killed both of them.
Mm.
And that was actually Brad's first, that was his first waterfowl kill.
Was it really? My gosh, yeah. That's the way to freaking bust it out, ain't it?
Yeah.
Good night.
And but they were Ross geese. Or mm-hmm. We identified them as what they was. There was a pair of them. How they found where we was at, I mean, and this is in November.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing here in November?
Yeah, that's just, you just never know, do you? I think it's what makes it so fun.
Yeah.
Because
you never know.
I mean, I'm just going out there duck hunting, but you just never, I mean, honestly, and I know gadwall is nothing special, but it was just, you guys have killed a lot of them. But where I just, last year is my second year, honestly, when those flew in, you know, I just shot two of them. And when I walked up there, I was like, shit, what is that, a hen?
Yeah.
What we got here? I know it's all awful.
Yeah.
But I looked up to see how many I was allowed to kill, and I was like, they ain't even got them on there after I figured out what they was.
Yeah.
That's not good, is it? No. Well, I'm not an experienced waterfowl hunter.
I love gadwall. Probably one of my favorite ducks to hunt. They decoy so good.
Yeah, they're not hard to kill, I don't think.
Well, they'll come right in.
Yeah, they did.
They're not like a mallard or.
Yeah, them mallards was flying around, and they was just like, whoosh.
Oh yeah, them gadwall. I couldn't tell you how many times I've been sitting in the blind or just sitting there and, you know, slow, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there talking, playing cards or just, you know, goofing off, and then you hear splash, splash, splash.
Yeah.
You look out in the blind, there's set four or five gadwall sitting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear them. Have you heard them? They go like a meow, meow.
You'll
hear them and you're like, it's a gadwall.
Yeah.
You hear them flying. And we seen scuds over Mississippi. I mean, that's what we killed the most of was gadwall, green winged teal, the duck missiles.
Oh my gosh.
Those
I still haven't killed one of them. Of course, now I've seen a lot of black ducks this year.
Oh,
yeah. I shouldn't say a lot for me.
Yeah,
I haven't seen them. I mean, they're a big duck, ain't they?
Yeah, they're just like a big mallard.
Big old mallard, ain't they?
Yeah, down south they call them black mallards.
Black mallard.
And they're like very rare to kill down south. Those guys down there were like, I mean, that's been my ticket on some of these hunts I get to go on down there. I'm like, hey, we'll trade out and come up here and shoot some blacks. And
so you see several blacks like, around here?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's first time year.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And then the pintail, I didn't even know what it was when it was flying. I was like, wow.
That was always my favorite duck from the time I started duck hunting.
That's still beautiful.
I killed my first one this past season.
Oh, he's a beauty, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You're getting him mounted, ain't you?
Yeah, I got him. And I'll tell you another rare one I killed, the rarest one for me was the Drake Widgeon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I killed it in a little WMA pond in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just one morning, got up and went hunting. I was like, it ain't going to be a good day, but I've got nothing else to do. It was a little muggy, cloudy, warm. And I was like, I'm just going to go sit on this pond and see what happens.
Yeah.
So first light, I had 25 to 30 black ducks hit the water in front of me.
Golly.
And you only killed one.
Yeah.
I was like, gotta be kidding.
Oh my gosh.
I should have really used a group of guys this morning.
Yeah, really.
So I killed my black duck, and a few minutes later, here comes some mallards, worked in, shot one or two, put the ammo up, and then here comes some geese. Heard geese honking.
Mm-hmm.
Killed a goose, and they come over, and I killed one. Sitting there, I was like, wow, man. I was like, it's been, I just thought this was going to be an awful day, and here I'm
smacking them.
And then I see a little duck splash and hit the water to my right. And I, first I thought it was a wood duck, just because of size. Well, it took back off, it seen me, and it took off, fly off, and I pulled up and shot it. I went out there and got it, and this will, I'll tell one on myself right here. I didn't know what it was, because I was still new to duck hunting, too.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what it was. It had, Widgeon's got like a baby blue-colored bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited about it, and I picked it up, and I was like, that's a bluebill.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent pictures of it to my buddy. He's like, you dummy. That's a Drake Widgeon.
My gosh.
He said, where did you kill it? And I told him, and he's like, wow.
That's sweet, ain't it?
He said, yeah. He said, I haven't seen very many of them at all.
See, once you get into the waterfowl hunting, you just don't understand until you actually get into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't. I could have cared less if you'd have told me that story 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, like, good job.
Yeah.
But once you actually go out and pursue them and put in all that work and see what it's all about, it's exciting to get something like that.
It's a lot of work and a lot of reward.
I mean, I know wood ducks are common around here, but I'm telling you right now,
it's fun.
I'm just trying to hold back a little bit because I'm going to have to knock this wall out with all these ducks. Because I'm mounting every duck I kill. I don't kill that many.
Yeah.
But I want to put a wood duck on the wall because I think they're beautiful.
They're beautiful.
I just think they're beautiful, we see a lot of them around here, or I have.
Yeah, we've seen scuds and scuds of them out the Green River.
Now, down there working, I work on the river, and those real cold winters we've had a few years back, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I'd see a ton of canvasback. Now, I haven't seen a canvasback.
Yeah, they're
the last couple of years.
Yeah, we've seen very many of them. It just depends on the years.
And then I seen that golden eye I sent you a picture of, which John says he'll see a lot of them down there where you all hunt.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of those.
And then I seen something with a bluebill by itself, and it was small.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Well, they call them a cotton top, the widgeon. They'll have a green patch.
See, I didn't.
Through their.
Yeah, I've seen them in the pictures of them.
And they'll have a little soft, it's like I said, it's called a cotton top. It's really soft, some feathers right here on top.
See, what was that other duck you was talking about?
And then there's a bluebill.
It's bigger?
Yeah, it's a big black.
That's it.
Got more of a black.
That's what I see.
They're a diver. And that's what we was targeting at Lake Barkley with those and buffalo heads. We ended up killing more buffalo heads.
Well, them buffalo heads are pretty.
Oh, they're pretty. Yeah.
I seen a buffalo head in the river, and it had one of them, looked like one of them big old tomahawks or mohawk or something.
They're sitting there, they get their feathers.
He was like a big stud.
But then, you could have seen a hooded merganser, too.
That might have been what it was, because this was a big...
Yeah.
Whichever one, is it bigger?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I seen. He was by himself.
They're pretty, too.
And, he was just floating around like a king.
The hooded mergansers. Now, the common mergansers, we don't shoot them. We let them
I was in a swampy area, and he was in the river. I could have shot him. He didn't see me. But, I couldn't have... No way I could retrieve him. I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah. We hunted a little WMA up in Ohio, and we killed a few mallards, and we had a big hood, Drake Hood and Merganser, come in on us, and we didn't end up getting him, but we killed some mallards up there. But other than Lake Barkley, we didn't kill. We killed probably 35 or 40 ducks this past season, which is not too bad, but... It's, our best year, we've killed 100, and that's not getting to hunt every day, though. That's just hunting on the weekends.
Well, you guys got, have high expectations because you know what you're doing, and you guys are veteran at it. I'll tell you a place, and I know waterfowl hunters are secretive, but no one can hunt this spot, so I'll just tell you.
Yeah.
I was over in Ohio looking at some spots, and right there I was coming down 52 before you get in Ironton, and I looked over to the right, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
There's a water hole, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
There was nothing, but it was just full of ducks. Yeah. There wasn't even room to swim.
It's a city ordinance there.
Yeah.
City limits.
My God. They know about it, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, you can hunt it.
That's like let somebody go down there and run around though.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It's a sanctuary. Oh my gosh, they know, don't they? Just right there.
Right there. I've seen them there several times.
Good night. I was about to die.
I know it.
Well, man, of course, I'm going to go check my cameras. I know you just got your cameras out.
Yep.
And I got a picture of a bear, which you said you got a picture of a bear out at your place
a few years ago.
Yeah. Hopefully, he just walked through and don't come back.
Oh, that's the way mine did. He came in. I had one picture of him and never got another picture of him again. He never even ate any corn.
Yeah. He just went on.
Yeah.
He smelled it. Probably went up there. So, we have a late bear season, like a 5 or 6 day, well, maybe 1 week. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Yeah, I think
it's somewhere in December. But all the other zones, I think we're zone 2. Is that right?
Yeah,
zone 3.
I think so.
Zone 2, which I'm not sure. Yeah, don't hold me to it.
Yeah,
don't
look into that.
Look into it. But I know we're the only zone that doesn't have an early season archery bow season.
Yeah.
Or archery bow season.
For bear, yeah.
Archery season for bear.
Yeah.
See, all the other zones have a 1 week early season somewhere in October, which would be nice.
Yeah.
Because if we could do that,
yeah,
I'd take that bear. And they're going to have to do it because, yeah. I mean, everyone's getting pictures.
I think they need to allow you to bait them because, I mean, a bear is...
Well, how are you going to kill a bear without baiting it unless you run them with dogs?
Bears are scavengers. They're not... You can't really pattern a bear.
You can't pattern a bear.
Bears are just... They're all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go out there and sit for a week.
Yeah.
Just hoping there's a bear walks through.
That's why they hunt them over bait, you know.
Wonder why we couldn't bait them when they start hunting.
I would say if we get thick enough, they'll allow, but it blows my mind you can't bait them in West Virginia.
Well, no one that I talk to likes them.
Oh, no.
Like all your West Virginia buddies too.
Yeah, they're bad.
Well, Brandon Phipps is in here. He's like they tear my cameras up.
Bailey tells me all the time about them tearing stuff up.
I mean, it's,
you better hope you don't get them. He said they're a nuisance.
Well, we're getting them.
Yeah, we are.
Because when I posted that picture, I had several people was saying, "Well, I've got pictures of this one, and they're tearing everything." I mean, I don't want to see bears here. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I think I'm not a biologist, yeah. But.
They're just slowly migrating in from West Virginia.
I would like to see a little bit of a better season.
Yeah.
At least give us a week of archery season, early season or something.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will as they populate.
Yeah, I'm sure once they get more intel on it and figure out numbers and all that, they'll put something into play, I'm sure.
Well, the last 4 years, I've seen a bear out checking my cameras every year.
Yeah.
The last 4 years, me and Jerry. Of course, Jerry, you know Jerry is. So he's sitting on the four-wheeler. He's back here on the big grizzly.
Yeah.
And it's a thick thicket. And Jerry, you know, he'll tell you he's not a fan of snakes. And this is thick, you know. And, of course, I have him snake boots on. So
yeah.
I walk back in through there. It's probably been 3 years ago. And I'm coming through them briars real quiet because I'm trying to pull them off of him. You know how it is. You try to slide through slow because you go quick, one snaps up and slashes your face off.
Yeah.
So I'm grabbing that last briar and I look over towards the mineral lick and there's a bear. And you know, I've got my little 9mm, which I carry 45 now.
Yeah.
Just because of Antifa or something.
Oh, yeah.
But well, you need a fly swatter for him, little faggots.
Yeah,
that's
all you need.
Anyhow, that bear, you know, the wind was in my favor. He never heard me. And I guess their eyesight's not that good anyhow, from what I understand. But that wind changed just a little bit. And, man, he snapped that head around, and he gave me a roar.
Yeah.
I was like, holy. I mean, it was enough. Jerry said, "Hey, what the hell was that?" Jerry, don't scream. I said, "It's a bear." I'd have given anything for that bear to run right towards him, cross through that field. That would have been funnier than hell, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He said, "What the hell?" Well, you could hear it crashing down through there. I mean, as soon as it smelt me, it just kind of startled it.
Yeah, they can smell really.
I mean, like that. As soon as I felt that wind hit me right here, but he reared up.
Yeah.
And here I'm stuck in briars. There ain't nowhere for me to go. And I'm thinking, I'm getting rid of this little 9mm. I mean, I carried it for, you know, crack edge or something.
Yeah.
Running around. But, you know, not that they're bad people. But if one comes at me with a...
Yeah.
Try to kill me or something, I'll protect myself.
Exactly.
You know, you got to make sure you get everything straight now,
yeah.
Cody.
Yeah.
Or you have to explain it.
Everybody gets their feelings.
Yeah, right. You can't... you can't joke or say anything. That's why I want to have, I want to talk to that Isma today, because this is why I want to have her on. It's awesome. She, for one, she just loves to waterfowl hunt. And, you know, I know everything's about collar, but she's black.
Yeah.
And she's openly gay, lesbian, yeah, and she served our country. So I don't know what, how you can deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, served our country. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, here's what. She don't make a big deal about it. She don't prance around like she's something special. She just wants to hunt.
Yep. That's all.
I keep up with her, and she just wants to hunt. She could care less about all this drama.
Yep.
You know, she said, I believe this, and I don't want to get her in trouble, but it seems like she's pro-Trump because of freedom.
Yeah.
Which, she's been to war or whatever. I mean, she's fought for our country. She knows what it's about.
She knows what, yeah.
I like people. You got to judge people as individuals. We all know this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It's, yeah, it really, it's just some bad times, man. I really, it just, it makes me mad anymore just to even get, I
well,
get mad
the,
looking at.
Here's the thing. Kids, I'll be playing all stores right now.
Yeah.
This is all political.
Yeah.
And I know there's people. I know there's people out there. This is not good, okay. And we're all comfortable enough just to let it go.
Yeah.
Just, you know, me and you sitting here podcasting. You're gonna deal with your garden, go play with your kids.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna fart around with the dog all day. We're comfortable enough. You know, these, there are people in these cities that are in pressure cookers.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not our fault.
No.
And it's not their fault. But they've been used by Democrats. Yeah. These are in Democrat cities.
Yeah.
Okay. And they start, well, you know, you can look at the numbers. A lot of people don't want to say anything. They don't want to hurt no one's feelings. But the truth about murder is that black on black murder is 90-something%. I mean, it is right there. I mean, I want to see it from the FBI numbers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of course, more white people are killed by cops because there's just more white people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bigger population, so it's hard to, but the black-on-black murders, I mean, you can't argue that, but you can't be tell me that you're burning down the cities. You're burning a fucking elk down in Seattle. Why are you burning it down?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Confederate flags and the Confederate statues, whatever. I understand if that's truly it, but all it is just trying. It's race bait.
It's all it is.
You know, old Bubba Wallace, that dickhead spit on a white guy, threw water on a white man.
Yeah.
Media don't say anything about
nothing.
It because it don't fit the narrative.
Yeah.
But he wants to cry and whine, little bitch.
Yeah, probably, you know, like a garage door.
He fucked up. He ain't getting his way. He can't win. He can't race worth a shit.
Well,
he's the most privileged person that I know down there in the racing world.
When they pushed him to the front of the line, I was done with NASCAR.
Well, here's the thing, though. And I want you to think about this, Cody. And I don't know how we got on it. But it's just, you know, we'll have this conversation real quick. Here's my beliefs in the sports. Okay, you know, they're trying to pit whites and blacks against each other. Everyone knows that. You know, all the working men and women, white and black, could care less because they're fucking working.
Yeah.
You know, they just ain't got time for this shit. Yeah. The black guy that drove in over, you know, the state there, over the country the other day, he's like, I ain't got time for this.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't even go through the cities without having to deal with all this crap, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a working man like us.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
he's no different.
Raised on good values.
Yeah,
no,
well, you know, he had opportunity, but we have to have law and order for that opportunity.
Yeah.
We all know that. But, so what else can you do? Well, you can attack the statues, elk statues, Abraham Lincoln statue. What the fuck are you attacking it for? I mean, that's the big, I mean, I don't even have a clue. And most of these people doing this are little white turds.
Yeah, I mean.
Them little Antifa, little white shits.
Yeah.
So the BLM, you know, the protest was overshadowed by all these assholes. I'm all for any protest. I don't care whether I agree with it or not. We have to be allowed to protest,
you can't
okay?
leave your house without a mask, but you can go out there and
yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying, but that's, they're just trying to piss everybody off. So sports. I'd say sports has built more bridges than anything when it comes to race. Has it not?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when I grew up, I wanted to be Michael Jordan, for crying out loud. Everybody my age wanted to be Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
That's what I knew.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be Michael Jordan. What if we didn't have sports, what would I have seen? What would I have known?
Yeah.
That's what I knew about black people. You know, is Ken Griffey Sr.
Yeah.
You know, I loved him. And then, of course, Ken Griffey Jr.
Yep.
I'm just saying what sports has done. Well, if they could get rid of that, I'm going to watch sports. I'm going to watch the NFL.
Yeah.
And you're going to fucking perform for me.
Yeah.
Because that's what you get paid for. I don't care if you bitch about it. You're going to perform for me.
Yeah.
You're doing a job. You're going out there and playing and working your ass off for me. So I ain't turning it off. I don't give a shit what they do.
Nah.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Robbing our kids. Your kids. I couldn't imagine Greg, my son, little Bob, not being able to play All-Stars. That's a big deal, Cody.
Yeah, it is.
For them 12-year-olds in Little League, which yours are not there yet, I guess.
No.
But could you imagine? You know, ever since they're little and started playing T-ball, that 12-year-old year is a big deal.
A big deal.
Yeah. We still laugh and talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, Rylan's last year, he was 8U All-Stars, and we played some travel ball. Man, it was a big year. We had a blast.
And it brings people together of all colors, of all races, all religions.
Yeah, we
that's what sports does for us.
We started season out. We actually got a game tonight, but I was glad to see it start with guidelines, with pandemic guidelines. So we have to do some things different. But
and then you
we're getting to play.
You know, like you said, it's 2020. Trump has control of the FBI now.
Yeah.
Are you seeing things getting? They got old Maxwell yesterday.
Yep.
See, they can't hide from, you know, the FBI was protecting them.
Yep.
Hillary's going to be on the stand. Obama's going to follow.
Yeah.
And people wonder why things are the way they are. They're that cruel.
Yeah.
They say, well, Trump's mean. Have you ever had a fucking car salesman be nice to, or mean to you?
Yeah.
They're always nice.
Yeah, they're nice.
Anyone that wants to sell you something is nice.
Is nice.
Obama, he was so well-spoken.
Yeah.
Was he not?
Oh, yeah, he was.
I mean, he knew exactly what to say. Was he supposed to come out and say, hey, people, you know, we're going to come out. We're going to be a new world order.
Yeah.
And this is the way we're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, Bush, he sucked too. He was a Republican.
Yeah.
He was as evil as shit. It was $5 a gallon of gas. He's an old man. I mean, put two and two together.
Yeah.
Screwing eyeballs out.
The only good thing he did was go in after 9/11.
He did, but, you know. But, I mean, Obama took out Osama, of course, because Osama is wanting to take out Obama.
Yeah.
You know, we better kill him.
Yeah.
It's dirty. But I just, it bothers me when people say, well, Trump's mean. You know why he does that, Cody? It's because they have tried to silence us where we can't talk.
Yeah.
Where if I do dislike a black guy or if I do dislike a Muslim, I can't say anything about it. Shh, better be quiet.
Yeah.
Because I can dislike 1,000 white people. It's okay. But if I dislike this black guy, that black guy's a dick. Oh, you racist. Yeah. You know that's the truth.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he is. He just calls a spade because they have took our freedom of speech away from us and we don't even know it.
Pretty much. Yeah, people don't realize.
Get on Facebook right now and I can say Cody's a dick. Yeah, he's a dick or you're an asshole.
Yeah.
It's going to go one way or another. I can get on there and say, any black guy that's an asshole and say, that guy's a dick. You racist. And then you have all the little white, then you have the little white people.
Yeah, you just went viral and you're kicked off Facebook.
Yeah, I'm kicked off Facebook for crying out loud.
Yeah, I seen something on Facebook the other day. It really boiled my blood too. I'm a member of, I follow it's a Kentucky basketball page.
Mm.
And there's this.
Well, we love Kentucky.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And there's this black guy on there, him and another guy. And they're constantly bringing up, said they're going to go to Lexington and protest about it, about changing the name of Rupp Arena because Adolph Rupp was a known racist.
I'm just sick of that shit.
Like they
he said, wasn't even a known racist.
I know, they said name it, they need to name it Tubby Smith
Arena. Why?
I'm like, why? Tubby is not worthy
he's not
arena named after.
No, he didn't.
He won a championship with Rick Pitino's team. You know,
here's the, and you take.
I'm not saying Tubby wasn't a good.
No, I still
good,
no.
I mean, I'm not saying that, but
no, I know what you mean.
It's you can't rename Ripper.
Well, he's no more worthy of it as John Calipari is, and I love John.
Yeah.
Coach Cal.
Yeah.
I mean, I love him, but he just hasn't won enough championships.
No.
If my kid could have went and played for any coach, honestly, I'd want Greg to play for Tubby.
Yeah.
Because I just think he's a sweet person.
Yeah, I like it.
But as far as just because he's black, listen, the black and white talk shit's got to end. You're an American or you're not.
Yeah.
One thing we all need is freedom.
Yeah.
Your freedom to be a Muslim or a Christian or
whatever
the fuck you want to be. You want to be a queer and dress up like a wild ass, be Joe Exotic, whatever. You can do whatever you want to do under freedom. Yeah. You got to have freedom first, man. You can't put that wagon in front of the horse.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying?
It's and, sad.
And, you know,
I feel sorry for my kids.
Well, we got to vote.
Yeah.
You know, we get Trump in this time, and I think they're not going to give up. But I think people's getting sick of it. Because, I mean, I'm seeing people. But I just don't like people getting... I don't like the black and white thing.
Yeah.
But, and they know to use that. You don't hear anything. I mean, China about killed the whole fucking world. They turned loose this fucking virus. You know that.
Yeah.
However it got, it left from China. We don't hear one damn thing about China.
No.
You don't hear nothing about Asians, which is no way... It's not... Asians' fault over here.
No.
It's not even their fault over there. It's just the people in power over there, right?
That's right.
But you don't hear nothing about it. Russia, hell, you Russia, you don't even know what the fuck they're doing. You don't hear nothing about them. It's just us, black and whites, over here fighting over horse shit.
Yeah.
I'm not dealing with it. No, listen, Fred, I don't give a fuck if you like me or not. That's the best attitude to have anymore.
That is. I could care less if anybody likes me or not. I mean, I like being liked. I like
people. Well, I like to be nice to people.
For people, I like to know that people think I'm nice or stuff, but if you don't, heck with you. I'm worried about it. I ain't gonna lose sleep over it.
We're in this damn 606 for crying out loud.
Yeah,
they ain't coming to the 606, no. Are they? That'd be funnier shit, wouldn't it?
It would be. It'd be comical.
They laid down here in Ashland.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I heard
they was, I think, pretty much all white kids, and that fucking or that blacktop was probably 130 degrees.
Yeah.
I was like,
go ahead.
Just leave him alone.
Yeah.
Have at it.
Yeah.
But that was a peaceful protest, and to be honest with y'all, I had no problem with that. They want to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
The peaceful protest is okay. You know.
Well, yeah.
That's what it's...
But, you know, like down in Virginia, they took all them guns down there, but they cleaned up all the damn trash. They didn't shoot the shit out of everything.
Yeah.
You just got to have respect. I mean, you take, like, Malcolm X and... MLK and I like to study the history of those people just because it's part of American history.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy. I just like, I mean, it just interests me. But it is what it is. Anyways, jeez, my gosh. You got to get to that garden. You got a ball game later.
Yeah, I got a ball game tonight.
So is it travel ball or is it little league?
It's just league play.
So it's little league?
Yeah.
So are you all going to be able to play?
It's Cal Ripken League.
Oh, so you're all Cal Ripken. So the little league.
We're not a little league up where we're.
Oh, okay.
We play under Cal Ripken.
So I don't think little league's anywhere. I've seen Cal Ripken.
Ashland's got little league.
Are they still playing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So I've seen.
There's a lot of Cal Ripken. A lot of Cal Ripken leagues.
What's Mike's little stepson?
Braden.
I seen him working on catching the other day.
Oh yeah, man. Michael's turned him into a ball player, man. That kid's really, he's really good football player.
Yeah, he hustles, don't he?
Yeah,
he Which does. Mike, he loves baseball, doesn't he?
Any sport. He's a walking sports encyclopedia, Michael is. He's always been that way.
Well, if you have another minute before we get off here.
Yeah.
Since we're talking all the bullcrap. And we got off hunting a little bit, but you know, I have to talk to you because I know you're a big UK fan.
Oh yeah.
Did you see it? What's his name? McCarr or whatever.
Oh yeah.
You see where he went? Howard.
Oh no, I didn't see.
Yeah, he went to one of them little colleges.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Everybody thought he was gonna go to UCLA.
Yeah.
So we was at the same game, that Tennessee game. And it's Ashton Hagans, and he's a kid.
Yeah.
Was he not the biggest spoiled brat that game?
He was pure cancer that game.
He was a baby, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Nick Richards, my favorite player.
I like Nick, man. Nick.
His attitude.
He really stepped up and was, he was really what he need, that team needed him.
Here's my opinion. And I'm sorry for y'all. We're going to talk UK before we get off here, so some of you guys might want to move on, but we can't help it. You know, I got a UK fan. Yeah, Lance, man, he has old Christian Laettner on his boat.
I know, but I was reading some comments from that pitcher one time. Somebody said you should have drowned him while you had the chance.
Lance said, "Man, he said he's a cool guy."
Oh, I'm sure he is.
But you know, that's just a love hate thing with him. He loves to give his hard time about it, and it's this big moment in UK history and Duke history. But we had Tyrese hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Emmanuel hitting on all cylinders. Tyrese He didn't care. He'd pass it. But if he's open,
he done
Coach Cal wanted both of them shooting when they was open, but they worked together.
He did a good job running the point that night.
He whined, Aston whined over there on the bench. He got two fouls like that, started crying.
Yeah.
And then goes back in and would not pass it, would he? He just kept driving to the hole, driving to the hole. Did you see him and Nick get into it?
Yeah, I seen it.
And, yeah, they, I mean, if you get into it with Nick Richards, you're a ding-dong. Yeah. He's the nicest kid there ever was.
Everybody was in kind of,
terrible.
He was having words, and it just hurt.
I think they
feed off each other, and when one of them's, then they're all right there. It's hard to.
Well, Nick, in my opinion, and Tyrese is, you know, they should have went to the NBA.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Quickley. I don't know if he could have had a better year this coming season than what he had last year, so he should have probably went. Man, Ashton's going to find out, ain't he?
Yeah, he's going to
find out. And I hope the kid
this
best.
This Brandon Boston kid coming in.
The last few years, we've either had Ashton or Isaiah Briscoe, and I loved Isaiah, but he whined too.
Yeah, he did too.
And pouted because, I mean, he couldn't shoot and he wanted to shoot, but when you have shooters around you, why do you want to shoot it for?
I know. Well, that's what made us so good. When Hakins was running the point, what made us so good is we had Quickley and Maxie.
We couldn't make a run.
Ball screens, I mean, there's your shooters right there. That's what helped us and made us.
Yeah, we had all kind of people who could shoot.
Yeah, when he run the, we played better ball when Hagans run the point.
When he wanted to.
I felt like now you can't question his defense.
No,
unreal. But I felt like Maxie was probably a better point guard.
Oh,
and Maxie, son, he
always happy
driving. He was going. He didn't care.
Listen, he's a big kid, ain't he?
Yeah, he's a big kid.
I mean, even when we went down there and seen live,
I didn't realize how big those kids was. Because you hear them talk, oh, Kentucky's got size. They got size.
Tyrese was huge.
And I didn't realize how big those kids was till I watched them twice last year. And I didn't realize how big they was until I seen them in person.
Yeah.
Man, some big kids.
I think EJ should have come back.
Yeah.
For him, he could have had a. He was just. He's a good kid too.
Yeah.
And he had. They get them parents, man. They get them parents and family in their ear, and they're thinking about them millions.
Yeah.
But you go down and you could. I mean, Nick Richards. He'll always be loved at Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not love that kid?
Yeah.
Kidding me?
Yeah. He got, you know, I struggled with him there for a while because after I seen him, he was coming along and he was real.
It's all confidence.
I was worried about him. I was worried he wasn't. But like Kenny Payne and Coach Cal said, you know, they weren't in shape. That was the problem. He said, once we got these boys in shape, look how they're playing.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Payne's awesome, ain't he?
Yeah.
I got to tell you a story. Your boys play basketball?
Yeah.
You have to take, and you too, because you're a guru.
Yeah.
But Kentucky basketball, you have to take them to Coach Cal camp.
Yeah, I plan on it.
I'm going to tell you, we took Bobby and Greg, and they'll play all over the city, the Lexington.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking out there, Greg's guarding Scottie Pippen's son and eating him up.
Yeah.
To be honest, the boy that plays at Vanderbilt now, seriously, Greg is tearing him alive. And Scottie was making, you know, looking at his son, laughing at him.
Yeah.
And so you never know who you're going to see in there. Let's see. Marquise Estelle. You remember him? Played for Tubby. I loved him. He was Bobby's coach.
Yeah.
And Greg's coach was one of the Raiders running backs. I can't remember his name. So you got those type of people in there.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in there. And, of course, Debbie, she's a big fan. She sees Coach Cal. She goes running. Now, what you see of Coach Cal, that's the way he is in real life. So I don't want to bother him. Yeah. And he's just talking to everybody, and he stands in front of me, and he's watching Greg's game go on. And he's talked to everybody. And this place, there's two gyms in this place we was at this time. I can't remember what place it was. But Coach Cal turns around, you know, and he looks, and he sees me, and here he comes, arm around me. Which one's yours? You know, I said, that one with the blue shoes. Oh, you got to have him shoes, man. You know, and he's just sitting there just Like me and you's talking right now. Yeah. He's just going on, and Greg hits a three, and he's like, oh, he hit, you know, old Coach Cal kind of taps you on the shoulder and waves and goes on. I'm telling you.
Good guy.
He's just a good guy.
Seemed like a really good
guy. I mean, you don't have to do that. You wouldn't have done that with Rick Pitino.
No.
Would you? I mean, maybe Tubby.
Maybe.
But not Rick. I mean, Rick, he had a daggone bodyguards. He thought he was mafia or something.
Yeah.
No, you would love it. I got to tell you one more story while we was down there. Shoot, I can't remember his name either. Eric Bledsoe, which he was playing for Phoenix at the time. I don't know where he's at now. Milwaukee, I think. And Marcus Lee. You remember Marcus that transferred? Well, Debbie loved Marcus Lee because we watched him play Louisville up there when Marcus had that big game in Indy, and we beat Louisville in the Sweet 16. Remember that? Yep. He kind of had to come out, breakout game. Well, Debbie loved him. So Marcus is standing over, and Eric Bledsoe standing over there. Well, she has no clue who Eric Bledsoe is, but he don't know this. But she sees Marcus, and she pulls the phone out, and she's running up there, and Eric is like, oh, you want a picture? And she said, yeah. She hands him the phone and went over and stands with Marcus Lee. I was standing right there, and Marcus dying laughing. He's like, yeah, take the picture. Eric was like, oh, man, he got duped, didn't he? Yeah, she had no clue. I said, Debbie, he plays in the NBA. I said, you just killed his soul right there. Marcus is sitting there laughing. Yeah. That was pretty good. You love it.
Yeah.
You and Mike both would.
Yeah, I'm gonna take them. I've looked at it. It's expensive.
It seemed like it was $400-something at the time for each kid.
But it's worth it. It'd be worth it.
One trip. Let them stay in the dorm.
Yeah.
Together. That's what Greg and Bobby, they stayed in the dorm. And just, you can come watch the games. You know, you and your wife can stay down there somewhere.
Yeah.
And come and watch the games. They'll give you a schedule. Or you know, because you'll enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
You'll enjoy that. Well, Cody, man, thanks for coming up. I know you got a lot to do.
Thanks for having me.
You all have a happy 4th of July out there. And just soak it up, man. Soak up all this freedom.
Yep.
Cody Cornwell, Rob Rashawn, and Hunting Out Loud. We'll talk at you later.